This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
So here's the interesting thing about, for me, about the heel turn. It was great. It was a moment, an all-time moment for sure. But it's almost 5 to 10 years too late. And the reason why I say that is all those Lil Cena fans that, you know, that believed in, you know, didn't give up and all this other stuff. Jesse's age now.
Oh, he's doing a make-a-wish before the match. Those kids are still around.
So that's... But it's not the same. Like, even when Hogan turned, we were still teenagers.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I think that's where you got the vitriol from some people still, and that heat. I don't know if Cena's going to have that heat, because the kids that really bring the heat, they don't know Cena like that. They don't love him like that. And the people who do know him like that, they're just, they going to
No, we were cheering that on yesterday. On Saturday. We were cheering that on.
Like, you think about that ring at Bash in the Beach, that wouldn't happen right now with Cena, because he's too far removed from the people to have that type of feeling. We were just happy to see it because it was cool, not because, like, you turned your back. Like, we don't really care that he's a heel. We're interested in the idea of being him a heel.
I think the biggest issue, because, again, the moment was fantastic. The biggest issue with WWE moving forward is, if I'm John Cena and you've announced this is it, this is my last year doing this. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, the heel thing is to go, I changed my mind. I'm going to do this as long as I want to. I don't think that's what's happening. I think he has, you know, other things on his horizon. If I'm John, who I do think he's one of the more brilliant minds. He's made some mistakes along the way. I do think he's one of the more brilliant minds in the business. I think Rock said, you know, this was something he presented and John went along with him, and Hunter presented it to him, and this is something he went along with. I'm guessing Cena's first question was, okay, how does it end? Because if you've built this whole thing on John Cena's last year, what makes him whole? And I think that's where this kind of falls short is with Hogan, that went on for years. Mm-hmm. With Cena, it feels like, and this is what I felt like with the Rock heel turn. It turned out, I guess not to entirely be true, but we'll address that part in a second. How do you make John whole again and get back behind the crowd so he can go back to doing the, you know, the make-a-wish things and be the John Cena that he's been for the last 2+ decades?
You just have him turn on The Rock once Roman takes the belt off of him and The Rock beats his ass after.
And that's what I mean. Like, you already have the end planted in your head, and you know that it's not that far away. Now, you can choose to, and this was what The Rock implored. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. This is what Dwayne implored everybody to do in the press conference, and it's like, enjoy the ride. We're going to get there. You might not like every step we take to get there. We're going to get there. And it's like, all right, this will be good, but I need John Cena's promo to be really strong.
One thing too, like, we can get Cody out of here. Like, he doesn't need to be part of the story anymore. I feel like Cena doesn't need to lose to Cody this year. Like, have him drop the belt to Cena at WrestleMania and then get Cody out of here.
If Cena lost to Cody, none of this makes sense. Mm-hmm. This doesn't make sense at all.
Yeah.
Like, it makes far more, like, and that's kind of the, so one, I think this makes Cody stronger because it's Cody versus Cena and The Rock, right? In a figurative form. It makes Cody stronger and a bigger, an even bigger babyface going into WrestleMania. Mm. The problem is, it's the second straight year that Cody's opponent isn't actually his opponent. It's the second straight year where it's Cody versus The Rock. Like, The Rock is the central figure in all of this, and it is becoming the McMahon-Austin type thing where McMahon just threw guys at Austin.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, you don't need Cody versus The Rock, I don't think.
But it is Cody versus The Rock. It's just Cena is in the ring with him.
But, like you never needed Stone Cold versus Vince, though, did you?
Yeah, the whole thing, everything was built around Stone Cold versus Vince.
But I think I understand what Jesse is saying, and I know we're going to disagree on this. Cody's just not, you need that for Cody. If Cody doesn't have that, he's a mid-carder.
No, I don't, he's not a mid-carder, but you're right. But that's the problem. He's been paired with Kevin Owens. He doesn't need Kevin Owens. He needs to be with The Rock or Roman. Or seeing, he needs to be with CM Punk. He needs to be with the upper, mm-hmm. you know, the tippy top guys. Or you have to do something. Like Cena started doing the stuff for Sheamus, you know, but that was 15 years into his career,
right?
Not two, and or it's obviously not 2 years into Cody's career, but into his run back. Mm-hmm. Like, no, he needs to be against the biggest, you know. I feel like he had too many placeholders over the last year. Just, all right, we're going to get you in a couple month program with this guy, then it's all going to lead to you're going to be back with The Rock in some way, shape, or form. The Rock and Cody will be the central focus of WrestleMania. Now, it might not be The Rock versus Cody, but it's going to be The Rock and Cody in some form as the central focus, and that's ultimately what it is with Cena being backed by The Rock.
And you laid that out perfectly. Or, like, you need the only, how do I put this? Just an opinion. But the only way Cody can be on that level and carry it, I think, is heel. Heel Cody. Babyface Cody, it don't move the needle. Outside of the story, and, like, ending the story, like, it don't. We just saw, and I know it's not the, it's not the same. You laid out why it's not the same, but we saw a year of it. Then people were just like not interested in what he's doing. Like he's either got to be against those top guys, or he got to be a heel. Whereas, and it's unfair, but Roman and the Bloodline, all that, they could go up against whoever. Who did?
That's not true. That's not true.
Went up against.
He went up against Logan Paul at one point. Like that wasn't interesting. Come on now. I'm not saying the match was bad.
Yeah.
Come on, man. You didn't think Logan Paul was going to beat Roman?
No, I didn't. But we were still watching because of Roman and the Bloodline. We still watch. Like, the match itself and the matchup was whatever.
But what was it? It was an integrated top storyline.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Cody had a match. No, he didn't.
He had a match against
Kevin Owens.
Without ending the story, he don't have that. And he doesn't have anything that's going to make us come regardless.
No, they didn't give us anything that would make us.
I don't know what he had. Outside of ending the story, I don't think he has that.
Yeah, I completely agree. I don't think they thought past that. They kind of just did it and were like, all right, we've got the boyhood dream has come true. We've got our guy. They did the same thing with Shawn Michaels. Mm. They didn't have, you know, until they did the end of the year story thing with losing to Sid and then getting the belt back at the Alamo Dome, you know, from the Survivor Series to the Royal Rumble, they didn't have like a big storyline to build into what Shawn did. And mm-hmm. he's going against the NWO at that time.
Right.
And it's like,
right.
I don't care. The match with Mankind, terrific. I don't care. Match with Vader. It was fine. Like, I, all right. Give me something to sink my teeth into. To. They didn't have outside of the bloodline was this massive multi-layered storyline that really part of that is what helped make Cody such a big star on his return. And they didn't outside of the bloodline. They have put so much into that. They didn't have another key storyline to involve Cody in because everything else that was big after that involved CM Punk. And that's why I was like, maybe they tie those. Maybe that's the match. Punk and, you know, because now I think the match is Roman, Punk, and Rollins at WrestleMania. I think that's the – I don't think Logan – like, he just pinned Logan. There is no reason for them to wrestle at WrestleMania. He beat him in the middle of the ring. That's over. Seth cost Punk at the end. You still have Roman looking for Seth, and I think that's probably your night one closer.
What's the point of that match, though? Just a good old-fashioned
feud? It's a feud. Yeah, Seth and Punk hate each other. Roman now has the issue with Seth. Of course, you could tie the Shield into that. And then you have the stare down that you had a couple months ago with Punk and Roman. So you can tie them all together. They're the, I know you don't like this, in addition to Cody, they're the other three biggest stars in the company. Yeah. They'll headline night one. Yeah. You put Gunther or Gunther, I don't know how you say his name anymore. Now I guess I got it wrong. And Jay, anywhere you want on night one, and then you put that match last.
I think you're probably right. I'm done booking. Well, I'm not done booking. I'm just going to keep being wrong. But I do believe they want that yeet moment. And you either put it at the beginning or
no, that's fine. Yeah. You can put it at the beginning. Yeah. Absolutely. The opening match for WrestleMania is a huge deal. Mm-hmm. I think we saw Seth beat Brock Lesnar in the first match of a WrestleMania 1 year.
Yeah.
Like that's a huge match.
The other thing that came out of this Elimination Chamber that isn't as big as Cena, but to me it's like, oh wow, they're really gonna do this, is they about to have Bianca be a heel. And I thought that wouldn't happen.
Yeah, I think they're about to turn Bianca too.
I didn't think that would. When we talked to her, I said, yeah, they can't do it. There's too many little girls that love Bianca.
But it would be, it's a little crazy to think they're gonna turn Cena and Bianca.
That's what I was thinking. Like, both of these people that we almost never thought would be heels are going to turn heel at the same time. That seems a little...
Because it was 100% Bianca who threw Jade through the...
Yeah. Was behind it. Because she beat up Naomi like she knew Naomi was the one who did it. But Bianca
was... Yeah, but that tie-in is really easy. Huh? It's real easy to say, oh, yeah. It's a black woman. I didn't think it was Bianca. Naomi that did it, and then they've done the whole Hunter Shawn Michaels thing.
Yeah,
do the video.
Yeah,
we've got the video, and oh, we enhance it, and then there's just a long ponytail. That spot. Did you see the spot with Bianca and the ponytail and the chamber? When she was on the outside of the ring, and I think it was Liv.
Liv threw her. Snapped her with the
no. Oh. Liv threw her against the cage, pulled her back against the rope with her ponytail. Threw her against the cage again, pulled her back. It was a great spot. It was that's crazy.
Yeah, I missed that one. So, but yeah, they all, you want to talk about how these people act and do stuff. Everybody did a phenomenal job with that one. With Naomi, they get the thing where Jade is coming out and Naomi's look and how she looks back at Bianca, like almost like she bought it, right? Like she bought it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, Naomi gets destroyed and Bianca was acting her ass off in the chamber at the post-match thing. Like I don't want to say I'm just as interested as because the Cena one is historic, but that one's got my attention as well. I want to see how that
plays. It's funny you say that. I was watching with someone who was like, they have to tell an entire story without talking.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're like the particularly that last angle. It's like you have to make all of those people in that, it was like 40,000 people, react without saying a word. Like that is an entirely different level of acting.
That's where John
missed a little bit. Like he's standing up there like Captain Morgan with his foot on Cody, like I wish Rock had said, hey man, put your arms down. You look ridiculous. Like, okay. So like even the poster, like even the picture that went all over the place and like Travis in the background for no goddamn reason. And he's standing.
Shout out to Travis.
Like, all right, John, like relax.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
A little bit, man.
Shout out to Travis. That cracks me up, man. Travis beat the Travis, sucker punched
Cody. Travis beat the crap out of Cody Rhodes.
You think Cody gonna have a receipt for
Cody?
Should have
given him one that night.
Or you think Travis, come here. You think they gonna let that go because he's a guest?
I'd be completely. It all depends on what happens before the show. Like, because it could have been, Cody could have said. And with The Rock and John present, like, you don't know how to throw a fake punch. So you have to hit him.
Yeah.
But if Cody didn't know that Travis was going to punch him, oh, we got a problem. Yeah, we got a problem. If that wasn't in the script and Travis just got all caught up, yeah, we got an issue. We got a big issue. We'll come back. 49ers make a trade this weekend. Is it the last one they make, though? Talk about it. D-Lo and KC, Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
that's hilarious to me. Now they're like that. Yeah, nobody. Everybody's going away from boxing in droves. Like black people don't watch box because that's the audience. Blacks and Latinos. That's the audience. They go, well, everybody's just leaving. No, actually, they're very invested in the sport.
No, they have MAGA martial arts to follow over there in the UFC. It's more their bag.
I remember when like Tank was coming up, one of the boxing writers was like, yeah, I don't know where these numbers are coming from. Like, he does great numbers on pay-per-views and you look at sold out. I don't know where it's coming from. I'm sorry. You don't pay attention to black people liking boxing. Like, I just don't know where it's coming from. Okay.
All right, man.
It's coming from buys, jackass.
They have money to spend? Wow. One more thing on Elimination Chamber. I left the TV on as I went outside on Saturday.
Oh, that
I
know boy was outside.
I know it's hard to believe.
Champagning and campaigning.
I know it's hard to believe. I almost texted at 12:30 to just say, hey, let the record show. I'm outside. I'm downtown. But I kind of running around the house and heard Dwayne. I was like, oh, the press conference is on. Let me see what Dwayne has to say. And he's very much Dwayne Johnson. That was as clear as day.
Just so we're clear, The Rock was in the ring.
The
Dwayne
Rock, correct.
Is
the board CEO, member yeah, who board was member. Who was he changed clothes, changed glasses, and changed tone. And it was very obvious. It was like, okay, so this is what we're doing. And it's he said something like Sam Roberts said something about wrestling breaking the fourth wall, and that's not something you normally do. And it's like, all right, if you're going to do this and you want to do it in a press conference setting, like that's cool where Triple H talks and or Paul Levesque, whatever we're supposed to call him now, and Dwayne Johnson, like that's fine. The problem is you have a bunch of goofy wrestling people who ask wrestling related questions. Like, hey, can we have an update on Cody Rhodes? Like, okay, wait a minute. The person you just asked that question to just told you this was a plan and John went for it and we laid it out and Cody's been all in on it and it's been great. Now you're asking a storyline related question. This makes all of us look stupid. Then, to make it worse, you send John Cena out there in his bright merchandise, his jorts, and he takes the microphone, he looks, you know, whatever, drops it and leaves. And it's like, all right, what the F is this?
Yeah.
Is this a work or is this real? This isn't breaking the fourth wall. This is mixing two different realities, mm-hmm. which is my issue with, and you're 100% right, even though it annoys the crap out of me. Dwayne was in the ring on the Netflix show. How the hell am I supposed to know that?
Right.
It's the same guy. Now, there were a few subtleties. One, he was dressed like The Rock, which was a problem. But two, he hands the belt, you know, to his daughters, and then he cuts what is a babyface promo. But that's The Rock. Like, don't on a wrestling show. James Avery never said, okay, wait a minute, I'm not Will Smith's uncle. But, you know, here's why we're doing this scene that's really emotional about his dad. It's not real, but here's why we're doing it. Come hug me, Will. Like, that's not how to... Look, I know, we all know, this is not real. This is a drama. This is a comedy. This is television. Let me get lost in this.
Right.
Let me immerse myself in this. But they won't let you. Like this new era of Dwayne and Triple H, they've got to remind you, no, it's okay. Cause The Rock or Dwayne and The Rock or whatever, he has to be, you know, you can hate him for these 3 hours, but you've got to love him when this is over. Well, then I can't buy into this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like if there's someone you dislike, you can't tell me that Earthquake didn't squash that snake. I hated Earthquake. Like, I hated Andre the Giant. I wanted to buy it. I didn't care how nice they were outside the arena. But I mean, and again, I guess that's just the evolution of business, because you have social media and you have brands and you have the way that WWE is consumed now through social media and YouTube and all of that, that I guess this is just the way you have to do it.
I don't think it is the way you have to do it. I hate it. I would like for them, and that's the one thing, it feels like, I could be wrong, this is the one great thing that AEW gave us. They're the ones that started that post-game conference, didn't they?
I believe wrestling. So. Yeah, I believe so.
And
I think that's where Punk said he works with a bunch of children. And man, I've never related to that man more.
And I also remember, didn't MJF do like a real good?
MJF was like constantly in character. Yeah, like he never broke character.
That's what these things should be. That's what they should be. And you can total. I'm okay with toeing the line with getting out of the character or whatever, but you don't go over the line.
Mm-hmm.
And they completely go over the line and blur the lines, and I don't like it. I don't like it at all. We all know it's not real. You don't have to, like, show, hey, it's not real. Like, let's talk in business. You don't have to do that.
Yeah.
Like, let the show continue to go on if you're going to do these post-game press conferences. And I hate that they do it the way.
Yeah, it's not SNL. As much as they want you to believe it's just like SNL, it's not. SNL, if Eddie Murphy starts laughing, it's okay, because in 5 minutes that sketch is going to be over and Eddie Murphy's going to be somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Well, The Rock killed off a year's worth of angles with one promo and then showed up on NXT and wanted us to pretend like it didn't happen. Oh, that was it. And then I think he even said this yesterday. Yeah, on January 6th, I went into the ring as Dwayne Johnson, the TKO board member, and it's like, all right, man, I'm pretty sure, and I could absolutely be wrong. I wasn't paying attention to this. I didn't realize I had to. I'm pretty sure they introduced him as The Rock. I'm pretty sure the graphics said The Rock.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure he came out to the music that The Rock normally comes out to. Why the F would I think this is Dwayne Johnson out here? You know where I'll give Vince McMahon a ton of credit was the show after the first show after September 11th. It was in Houston, Texas on that. So September 11th was a Tuesday. They did that live show on Thursday in Houston. The show started with Vince McMahon in the ring. This is 2001. This is in the midst of Austin McMahon, Mr. McMahon, all of that stuff. Vince McMahon walked to the ring off television. No music, no nothing, no introduction. Walked to the ring in like a Tommy Bahama shirt. Nothing that identified him as the Mr. McMahon character. Mm-hmm. He had like a Tommy Bahama shirt on and like slacks. Mm-hmm. And he in the television broadcast starts with him in the middle of the ring. And it's like you see it immediately. There is a clear distinction between that man and the character. It's obvious. You're seeing it. It is very visual.
And that wasn't accidental.
Right. It absolutely, because if he had come out, you would have gotten a wrestling reaction, and he was trying to be the actual owner of the company in that moment. And if The Rock wants to do that, I'm sorry to say this, it's not pop. Take note from the guy you used to work with. He actually did that part right. And he did that. Unfortunately, he did it a few times.
Yeah.
We'll try to block some of those out, because he did a similar thing when Benoit died. And, you know, he gave speeches when Eddie passed and all of those like different things. But that guy in the ring 2 days after September 11th was clearly not the Mr. McMahon character.
Right.
And if we're going to make breaking the fourth wall a regular thing, we've got to be more aware of the way we do it.
And on top of that, this is a great point by you, but on top of that, Dwayne is on the board. The Rock is not on the board and don't have no say-so in all this. He don't have no say-so in how the business goes. So this is where you talk about you're convoluting things. Dwayne, he said, I was Dwayne then. Then what is The Rock doing calling shots?
The final boss.
What is he doing calling shots? He's not on the board. Dwayne is on the board.
Yeah.
So The Rock shouldn't have any say-so in who's the champion or who's they select the champion, because that's Dwayne. Now, once again, like you just mentioned, If you want to be Dwayne all the time, then be Dwayne all the time.
Yeah.
But you, it's just making it a mess. I hate it.
We better, one downfall, we better get to the phones before we get in trouble.
Who's going to get us in trouble?
Well, the only person who can, the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi.
What's going on, Cheryl and Elk Grove?
Look, are you guys talking about the fight at all?
Well, we talked. I did the 13th round during the commercial break a little bit. Yeah, so I mentioned it for the people who are watching on the stream.
You have some thoughts on the fight?
Well, yeah, I just wanted to say, I'm usually always a Tank fan, and I am still a Tank fan, but I just wanted to give an opinion about what I think happened.
Okay, we're listening. Tank Davis is who she's talking about, ladies and gentlemen. Big fight that went down.
She builds her entire day around Tank
No,
Davis.
She does. She hit me at like 7 a.m. like, yo, what's up? Where are we watching the
no,
fight?
No, I'm aware. I've seen it. I've seen it in real time.
Your thoughts.
Well, all I'm saying is that Calvin was not on first. As you know, Calvin and Tank had a little spat. Something was going on. Calvin was second.
Calvin's his trainer, his longtime coach.
Right, and I don't think that he was in his right mind. I really don't.
Tank,
yes. I think, you know, he just, I told you when he came out, I just didn't feel it.
That's the first time
I ever felt that way.
Well, I told you the whole time, the guy's got one foot out the game talking about he's trying to retire. Now he's trying to turn it back on because he said, no, I got at least four fights. All right, good luck. Good luck. We'll see. Once these guys go, they go.
The word on the street is Calvin's back is number one, which Calvin should have been number one anyway, because this is just a clear second thing, just like what Tyson went through when he threw Kevin out.
Good knowledge.
And so I'm just letting you know, I just wanted to be the one to tell you guys that, you know, I heard that Calvin's coming back. Mm-hmm. Tank will be okay for the next fight.
Oh, okay.
Cheryl, do you have any thoughts on John Cena's heel turn?
On what, D-Lo?
John Cena's heel turn?
No, I'm sorry, no.
Do you know who John Cena is?
Yes, I know who John Cena is.
Do you know
WWF.
Do you know what a heel turn is?
No.
That's okay.
He became a bad guy for the first time in his career on Saturday.
Oh, yeah. I heard about that. Okay. Reed told me.
I
didn't like him anyway.
Okay. He was probably an idiot, huh, Cheryl?
I mean, he wasn't one of my favorites, but, you know.
All right.
Rocky Johnson.
D-Lo, I was just trying to let you know about Tank. That's all. We're having an intense conversation about that because that was pretty much could have been an upset.
Well, I'm glad you did. Knowledge. Thank you for keeping me on my game. I love you, Mom.
All right, you guys. I'll talk to you when he fights again.
Okay. All right. Not till then, though. Won't talk to us before then.
And sell with the Kings.
We got inside information right there.
He did start as a heel, by the way. John Cena.
He did start as a heel.
He was just really good and became a babyface.
That was breaking news, too, by the way. She said Calvin and Tank.
He's back.
Yeah. Well,
boxing insider.
I hadn't even seen that nowhere, so she got her ear to the streets.
That's funny, though. When your mom says it, like, I believe her. Like, yeah. Your mom knows everyone in the city.
She does know everyone.
Literally knows everyone in the city.
Ironically, I don't know if she knows Io.
That's interesting.
They're in the same circles.
I feel like they
would have.
Yeah, I feel like they probably would have run into each other.
Recognize each other, but yeah. I don't know if they've ever spoken.
Yeah, I'm sure they have. I told Io, I was like, hey, KC saw you the other day. He goes, he did? I was like, yeah. He said he was in a hurry. I think you were in a game. He was like, he didn't say nothing. I was like, nah.
He was in the middle. He was trying to get a rebound.
I think he said you were playing. He was like, oh, I don't know. I ain't see him. He ain't say nothing. I was like, all right. All right.
The guy was in a defensive stance. I didn't want to mess him up. Now I was running late for my game, so.
49ers traded Debo over the weekend. He's off to the Washington Commanders. Not the point. I like the move for the Washington Commanders. We wondered what they would do after the season that their super rookie had, and it feels like they're, and I think this is a good strategy, They're going the Houston Texans route, and they're leaning into their quarterback, and they're trying to get their quarterback weapons. And it only cost them a fifth-round pick, and I think this is a great move by the Washington Commanders, but this isn't D.C. radio. This is D'Lo and Casey in Sacramento, and the 49ers are a focus of what we do quite a bit. So what do you think about this move for San Francisco? Obviously, it felt inevitable, but it's done now.
I like the move for the 49ers. I hate that it's come to an end with Debo, because, like I've said a number of different times, it's one of my favorite 49ers of this era, man. So he's given so many great moments and enjoyable moments. I hate that this is where it's at, but it was also inevitable. His play had slipped immensely, in my opinion, and I don't know what the numbers say, but I know just watching him, he hadn't been a top receiver this past season. And you would see end arounds and little bubble and tunnel screens and stuff like that that were just money for three seasons. Now you'd be lucky to get 7 yards from him at this point. And his explosiveness, his speed, it seemed to be gone. And the playmaking ability, the home run ability that he had early in his career seems to be gone. And at the price that he was at, which wasn't like the craziest, but it was still something that you got to consider with trying to sign Brock Purdy to a contract, a long-term contract, combined with his production. It just didn't match up anymore, and I thought it was time for, you know, both sides to have a fresh start. I didn't think they'd be able to trade him, but going to Washington, it gives him a good opportunity for a fresh start. I think the idea of Debo Samuel and the actuality of who he is at this point in his career aren't matching up with some people that are outside of San Francisco or outside of the Niners, you know, Niners fear.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to call him washed. I don't think he's that, but I don't think he's a game changer anymore.
Mm.
So Washington thinking they're getting Debo from 2021, I think he's far removed from that.
He's not the best receiver on that team, that's for sure. And then going to Washington.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, like, but I think like what Casey's saying, like it's a nice move in theory, but I don't know how much he still has left.
For a fifth-round pick, I think it's perfect.
Fifth-round pick is perfect, but you also got to pay that salary too. And in Washington, I think the dead cap is for the Niners this upcoming year is what I've heard. And then Washington committed to signing, paying the rest of that deal. Mm. And
you got a rookie quarterback. Like, meaning a rookie scale quarterback, like the contract, you have the money to play with. Like, I don't think it's that.
I'll put it to you like this. If I was Washington, if I was advising Washington, I would have told him, see what you could do in the draft at wide receiver.
Yeah, you mentioned the Texans. Like, they got Diggs. I don't think this is close to that.
Yeah, Diggs is better than Debo.
Debo, like, we saw it this year. Debo's not what he used to be.
No,
like,
he's
Diggs
not.
Still had something left.
And the numbers show that. You mentioned the 2021 season, 1,700 scrimmage yards for Debo that year, 806 this year. It's the least amount of yards in the air, the least amount of yards from scrimmage, the least amount of yards he's got on the ground in a season where he played this many games. He played 15 games this year. For context, 806 scrimmage yards this year in 15 games, 1,117 in 15 games last year. 670 receiving yards in 15 games this year. 892 yards in the air in 15 games last year. Probably equally as frustrating as you go back the year before. He plays 13 games that year, 632 yards. Plays that full season in 2021, and that's what everyone held on to, is when he plays a full season, he is special.
Yeah.
But right now, that season is very, very much an outlier. Doesn't mean he's a good ball player. Doesn't mean he can't help you. It just means he's not that.
Right.
His numbers in that 2021 season are not indicative of who he is as a football player.
Yeah, and He's still productive. And that's where, you know, having the argument that Washington is helping out the quarterback and the young quarterback and Jaden Daniels is valid because he's not like not playable.
Not
he's
at still all.
Cool, but he's not a home run hitter anymore. The things that you think that you're able to do with Debo, I think those days are long gone. You've got to scheme him open a little bit because the book on him, which is kind of accurate, is at this point in his career, man-to-man coverage, he getting shut down.
Mm.
And, yeah, that's he's still a good player, but I'll just speak from the Niners' point of view. All things considered, I'm not mad that they moved on from Debo, and I wouldn't be mad if they made one more move, to be honest with you.
Well, there's speculation. You mean one more move at the wide receiver position?
Yeah.
Well, there's speculation that they are not done making moves yet. Let's see what Mitch has to say about all this.
Mitch.
Or what Mitch has to say about anything. 916-909-1320. What's up, Mitch?
What's cracking, guys? I think that was a very good move by Washington.
Okay.
Wide receiver number two at best, at worst. Could play some running back because the running game was kind of disappointing. I thought they had a good shot. I thought they had quite a few good running backs, but Austin got hurt. Chris Rodriguez, he's got the size, but he wasn't that good. And Robinson didn't play well, but that was a good move by for Debo. You think maybe the 49ers are not going to be able to they'll overpay Purdy and maybe they can get maybe we can trade for another wide receiver or draft one? And who do you I never give you guys a chance to speak. I'm just like, you know, I'm like, it's always downhill when I call, right?
Yeah, you're good, man. It's all good. You're good.
Who's going to be the quarterback for the Raiders, you think?
Oh, Jesus. I have no clue. Like, that question is, I don't know, Justin Fields? I have no idea.
Yeah.
Absolutely no idea who's going to be the quarterback for the Las Vegas Raiders. I don't think the 49ers are going to overpay Brock Purdy either. I think they're going to. They're going to pay him. Yeah. They're going to pay him very well, but I don't think it's going to be an overpay.
Yeah, and I
that's probably dependent on your opinion of Brock Purdy.
And I also look at what they're going to do with the wide receiver spot this year. Is they're going to try and I want to say go cheap because that sounds like they don't care about it, but they're going to give Purcell an opportunity. They're going to try and draft a young guy, and they're going to reset the balance of their salary cap. Starting with that wide receiver spot.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to try and give these young guys an opportunity. Cowing, see what he's able to do. I saw a report today, and I don't know. It could all just be spin. I understand how these things go. But they threw Terrell Owenson in there as somebody that they saw all year on the practice squad who they really liked, and they're going to give him, at the very least, they're going to give him a real shot going into training camp to be a part of this, and you got Juwan Jennings there as well. So I think they're going to kind of – they're out of the business of paying top dollar for these wide receivers, at least with how the roster is structured right now. And they're going to try and find a way to work within. Like I said, draft a guy and then work with the guys they got already.
When you trade Ayuk, do you try to add another receiver after that?
In the draft, it may be like a low-level free agent.
Because you're probably going into the season with one of the worst receiver rooms in the league if it's Purcell and Jennings.
Yeah, maybe so. But I also think Brandon Ayuk, we know how I feel about Brandon Ayuk. I like him as a player, but I think that the very least, I'll just speak for next year, he's not going to be anywhere close to what we know Brandon Ayuk to be.
Mm-hmm.
So him being on the roster may look good on paper, but you're not getting that. You're not getting that type of player, so go see if you can find it elsewhere in the draft or somewhere else.
T. Higgins got franchise tag today, by the way. For
he those did.
That were looking at that stuff.
Yeah, he did. There's probably a few things to talk about in regards to that, and what other wide receiver might be on the move. We've got all that ahead. Plus, we'll get back to the NBA. We'll get back to the Kings. What's life going to be like without, at least for the next week, without DeMontis Sabonis? We've got that coming up. Steelo McCasey brought to you by Sky River Casino on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. I saw Stephen Brown was followed by Stacey Kaufman. I was like, oh, no. No, it's all right.
What have we learned that, Stephen Brown. Like, Stephen Brown's been telling us, oh, I'm 6'5". What have we learned? Like, he's actually just 6'2". He's just been adding, like, just a couple inches of height. He's, like, really, he's just 6 foot. He's tall, but he's, like, not 6'5".
Yeah, he's not 5'4", but he ain't 6'5".
Who started the Stephen Brown is 5'4"? Was that you?
I think it was KC, yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Stephen Brown's just like, hey, a little about me, guys. And Casey's like, nope.
That man even changed his profile picture to show you, like, look, I'm tall. Do my man Stephen Brown dirty.
Anybody could do that, Stephen Brown. Anybody could do that. You might be in Tank's weight class. 5'4", 140.
Well, I don't know if Stephen Brown's height has been raised, but the real estate bar has been raised. And clients today expect more help selling and buying their home. Mm. Excellent.
No, I thought you had more to say.
No, that was it.
Oh, well, now I can speak my piece because it reminds me.
Been doing a show 4 years now. Going on 5.
It reminds me of when my girl Jennifer heard about Johnny Jennings and his guaranteed offer program on the radio, probably on D-Lo and KC, and wanted to hire him because she needed to sell her home quickly and for top dollar in a neighborhood with many other homes for sale.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny Jennings and his company, Made for More Realty, were able to get her a full price offer and her home sold the first weekend on the market.
Yeah, they sell your home 27% faster than other homes on the market, and they sell your home for an average 3% higher purchase price than other realtors. That's why they've been voted the number one team in Roseville for the past 3 years. You can ask about their multiple instant cash offers. You can ask about their guaranteed home sale program. Expect more, get more with Johnny Jennings and his team at Made for More Realty. California DRE number 01982171. Just Google Made for More Realty today and get more for your home. Shout out to our man Johnny Jennings. Shout out to our man TC.
Yeah, man.
916-909-1320. What's up, TC?
What's up with it, man? What's up with my two brothers?
TC, what's good, bro?
Oh, man, just vibing with the homies. Hey, before we, that's what I was saying with the Kings, man, looking scary, man. Hey, that was a big win the other night. We played tonight. I think, did I hear that right? If we win tonight, well, we going to be tied for 6 or a half game back?
There's a lot of tiebreakers. My bad, man. There's a lot of tiebreakers going on, but I think in the loss column, they're even or one game behind the Clippers. A lot of
now they're even. Yeah,
they're even right now.
Yeah,
right?
A win tonight would make the Sacramento Kings and the Los Angeles Clippers 32-28. Mm. Quick peek, looks like the Clippers are off tonight.
Yeah,
Clippers are off tonight. So
let's see. Hey, I'm so fired up, man. My boys. Hey, Kenny, that's what I was talking about. KC, D-Lo. And I said, we're going to have the last laugh, right?
I mean, it could be. I mean, there's a lot of work to do. There's
well, you can't have the last laugh on March 3rd, but I'm with you. I'm with you.
There's a lot left to do. But, I like the direction and this team is going right now, obviously, because they're playing some solid basketball with an opportunity to build on that.
What does this team look like if Doug Christie is leading them game one instead of Mike Brown?
That's a hell of a question, man. That's a hell of a question. I can't
put my finger on what this Kings team is right now, because the 18-10 under Doug Christie, like, that feels notable. Like, that's not just, oh, they caught fire. Like, that's a decent amount of games right there.
It's not nothing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I just don't know how to assess this Kings team, though.
Yeah, it is absolutely not nothing.
I think this team right now, with their 3 games over 500, mm-hmm. I think it's safe to say they started the season with Doug Christie, they'd be that 8 games over that we see in his tenure, okay. The 18-10.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's real. I think that's who he is as a coach and who they are as a team responding to him. You know, you get a training camp with him. You get him working through stuff, not so much at breakneck speed, but, you know, he can ease his way into the season. I think you're looking at a team that, like, I think that 8 games over 500 is real. I think it's real. That's where I would put him at.
Don't hate it. Yeah, don't hate it. I mean, you started, what, 6 games under? 5 games under?
13-18, I think, when Mike got fired, right?
Yeah. Then lose your first one, win the next seven. I mean, yeah, it's a, it's definitely different. But I also, you know, want to be aware when talking about DC and hopefully what the future holds for him. You know, you're still kind of, there's still kind of this, all right, guys, you know, rally around Doug type thing. It's another thing when you're leading training camp. Mm-hmm. Right. And that could be a good thing, but it could also, you know, apparently the Kings lived off of vibes for an entire year and it immediately went to hell the next season. So, like, not saying that's going to happen with Doug. I'm saying it's different when you're the guy. You're, it's not a cute story right now where the commercial with you and Mike runs and it's like, oh, you explain to someone. It's so cool because they filmed that commercial before Doug was even the coach. Like, it was, it just happened. Well, that commercial is not going to run anymore and you're going to be Coach Doug Christie. Like, that's what you will be moving forward. So it's going to be a little bit different. You're going to be in charge of the training camp schedule. You're going to be in charge of practices. You're going to be in charge of everything. Like, you're, everything stops with you. Not that you're not now, but it's more of a, you know, he probably relies a lot on, well, that's probably the other thing. He probably relies a lot on Jay and Luke. I don't know that any of those guys are going to be back next year. Yeah. And remember, this all apparently started with the front office wanting one or both of them, depending on what report you read, fired. Mm-hmm. So if Doug becomes the head coach, and to me, he has certainly earned that opportunity, it's going to look a little bit different for him. Absolutely. Next year is going to look a little bit different for him.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's a guy, though, that I believe with more time, and I know you're not saying anything different, but just with more time to prepare, to like calm down and get a lay of the land, mm-hmm. he'll get better. Like, I think for him, it would be a positive to have that time in training camp to work with these guys, to build even more of a bond and relationship with those guys. I'm a firm believer that, you know, if somebody were to turn their back on Doug Christie or not, weren't really feeling him as a head coach, that says more about you as a player than it does Doug Christie. Mm-hmm. And I think more time to be around those guys and to build with those guys will only help. I think he would get better with that extra time. But your point still stands. I understand. But I think in Doug Christie's case specifically, it'll be a positive. If the interim's off, mm-hmm. he's got a training camp, I'd love to see what he could do with that because I think he'd do wonders.
I'm with you on that because, like, if everything is that we've talked about is true with the front office and just everything that's going on this season, the fact that they're still, like, they're still going and, like, kind of, I don't want to say thriving because they're still 3 games over .500, but, like, he's got them in a spot where.
But considering where they were,
those right, issues, they'll tear down a team and all that. Like, he's still got them afloat, so that's pretty notable, I think.
Yeah. That's
a testament to Doug for sure.
Yeah.
It's also a testament to the players for, mm-hmm. you know, buying in to this and, you know, allowing Doug to, you know, Doug has had some hiccups along the way. Allowing Doug to have those hiccups along the way, course correct. When he calls a meeting, one, don't talk about it, which DeMar didn't, LaVine didn't, and react to it. And by all accounts, they got embarrassed at home by the Golden State Warriors, and I don't think they've lost since.
No.
Well, if I told you a team fired their head coach after extending him in the prior offseason, traded their franchise player, and we're not really sure the dynamics of the front office, just on the surface, don't give you a team name, you're going to think, oh, yeah, the team is cooked.
Yeah, absolutely. 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 And the Sacramento Kings are anything but. And, KC, you noted this, like, six is very much in position for them. You know, I had kind of put six aside because I just didn't think they could win at the pace that some of these other teams are. But knowing is winning at a pace of anything. And it's and one, the Kings are playing well, mm-hmm. but no one is winning at that clip. And I mean, in the Warriors, the Warriors who were kind of winning at that clip, they started a little bit behind, right, and had to bring themselves. They were in the position that the Kings were after the Mike Brown situation, not that far, but they had to bring themselves back up. And they used that it was a 6-1, 7-1, mm-hmm. you know, Jimmy Butler record, might be 7-2 now after the Memphis game, after the Philadelphia game. To kind of get them back to this point. And now it's, okay, Everything is completely level. So it's something we talked about on Sports Sunday last night. You know, you've got a lot of teams that are just kind of flailing, trying to keep their head above water. Dallas is one of them. Take it. Try to take advantage of those, with or without DeMontis Sabonis. You know, try to take advantage of those. I don't know what the hell Denver is. I have no clue.
Denver's an all right team.
And San Antonio's not good.
No.
They're bad. They're not a good basketball team. So beat De'Aaron's ass and get that game over with. Send him into hand surgery and let them go away.
And you mentioned the teams around them. You know, they've all had their crazy little losses. You know, the Warriors losing to Philadelphia.
Yeah, crazy.
Friday night, Minnesota losing to Utah, you know, which is crazy. They were able to bounce back somewhat and beat Phoenix last night.
We was at dinner. Casey said Minnesota lost to Utah. I was like, what? Yeah, Minnesota lost to Utah. What?
Oh, that's enough margaritas for you, sir. Yeah,
okay. Turn around and talk to that table you was talking to again. Keep it moving.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.